Well, hey, friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And thank you for joining us. You good?
My microphone's like moving by itself.
Yeah, I know. That's probably because I moved mine too much. I'm always grabbing it.
Well, I don't move mine that much. It's kind of like it just kind of went up by itself. And I'm like,
don't mind us. We're just two Florida guys with a microphone
transmitter. A couple of educated rednecks.
Be sure to stay updated on thebrowershow.com with the podcast, my friends.
Who's have way too many guns.
That's a fact. And be sure to check out the product of the week, the EyeSight Formula. You know, I got to read something real quick. I had a customer call the office yesterday.
I love that.
Really,
stuff,
really good customer. And her name was Vicky. I spoke to her briefly. She's a really great lady. Talked to me about the show. Talked to me. She loved the show with me and you.
Hey, good morning, Vicky.
She's awesome. And she said that she just had her eye checkup. She's 67, and she still has 20/20 vision. And she said she's been taking the EyeSight now for quite a while. She says she contributes her EyeSight to that formula.
I'm telling you, I could go to restaurants now without having to break out reading glasses.
Yeah.
Unless it's really like candlelight. Like no light in the restaurant.
My favorite's one in a dark restaurant. Braille. He pulls his phone out and he flips his flashlight on. And everybody's like,
ah! Probably my flashlight left my home screen now and I can't find it anymore.
We'll leave it off.
I'll bring a little pocket flashlight next time.
And then we also had another customer, Tim. He reached out to us and he said, we talk a lot about breakfast with eggs. We talk a lot about dinner. We don't talk about what we eat for lunch.
There you go.
Lunch is about the same thing as everything else.
Our diet is really
boring. It's quite bland.
Well, now there's a really nice
chicken and rice.
There's a really nice restaurant in Ybor City.
Yeah.
Okay, and I go there a couple times a week, and I'll usually meet somebody over there.
Now, what do you get, though?
I get spanakopita.
Okay. What do you get for protein?
Now, you guys look at me like, what's spanakopita? Okay.
It's really good.
When we were in Greece years ago, this is way back in like 2017, almost 10 years ago now, we found the rooftop restaurants right outside of the Acropolis, which was absolutely breathtaking. As far as you can see the Parthenon up above it, and we had something called spinach pie. It's called, you know, it's what it is. And what we did is we ordered it, and I liked it so much, and I started eating it every night. Now you think to yourself, no, you did not. You're in Greece. You could have had anything you wanted to, any night you wanted to on the menu, and you sat there and ate spanakopita every night.
Yeah.
And I did. And don't judge me. I liked it. And what was funny, one day we're sitting on this restaurant rooftop, and there's a set of stairs that have to walk up to the roof.
Yeah.
And there was some girl who was steeped in narcissism so bad, she literally stood there, me and Harrison and Sharon watched her, and took photographs of herself on these stairs for about 1 hour. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of photos, and to the point that everybody in the restaurant was laughing at her. So if you do that, if you have a requirement that you've got to take 100 pictures of yourself every single day, you might want to reevaluate that behavior because it looks funny to other people. Just thought I'd mention that. But oh, by the way, you know, we need to role play this morning. I'll be Elon Musk and you could be Trump.
This was a fiasco yesterday. What theater show debacle, embarrassment? I don't
know how
to describe it.
No,
I mean,
remember what I told you guys? I said, and I have been saying now for the past 10 years saying this, that Donald Trump and Epstein were best friends.
You have said that for a while.
They were wingmen. They picked up young girls.
Allegedly. That's what we had heard.
That's not alleged.
No, I didn't witness it.
No, I'm not saying underage girls.
Yeah.
I'm just younger women. And, you know, Trump even said that Epstein liked them on the younger side. That's his words. Okay. And, you know, Donald Trump told Billy Bush, you got to grab them by the get their attention. And being a celebrity is great. Okay. So Donald Trump had a different type of lifestyle when he was younger. Now that he's basically in his 70s, he probably needs HGH stimulation.
Great product.
That was a shameless promotion. It was terrible.
It's horrible.
It acts like a natural Viagra. So I think that I think that you guys were still laughing at me. But the point is, now Epstein's saying that Trump's in the...
No,
Epstein,
Elon.
Elon said, Elon is saying... Epstein's probably saying
the same thing.
I don't think he's dead. Elon is saying that Trump won't release the files because Trump's in the files.
So that's what he said. Said it's time to drop the really big bomb. Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. The real reason they have not made them public. Have a nice day, TGT.
And then he goes, he's going to basically shut down his little space flight thing to stop the station from getting people off the space station. Which now I'm going to say something here. This is all obfuscation.
That's theater.
This is complete and total baloney. First of all, let me explain something to you. When they shut down the shuttles years ago, there was a reason they shut down the shuttles. They didn't need the shuttle. They were antiquated technology based on Putamundo in 1930 German rocket technology. We have anti-gravity technology that was developed by the Germans in the 30s and then continued to be developed after Roswell in 47.
I'm reading this. Trump's response, because Elon was wearing thin, I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted, that he knew for months I was going to do, and he went crazy. Dude, this is like some high school social media drama.
No, what we have here is a three-ring circus. No, we don't have three. It's about a 20-ring circus. Okay, we've got... Yeah, burning now.
Don't forget, Russia goes, we're going to drop ballistic missiles all over Ukraine.
Oh, and they did. And now
keep on fire.
And then Russia says to Elon, we'll give you asylum. Come to Russia. Okay? So that's...
As they launch more missiles.
No. And then we've got Zelensky playing the piano with his penis, which is great.
We need more money.
And then you got Zelensky, who didn't do this, but then we got somebody dropping all kinds of drone bombs all over Russia.
Now, CIA Mossad.
And then you got it saying now that Hungary is saying that... You know, Ukraine's about to attack Hungary, and that NATO's going to love it. And then you got basically Elon going, well, you know, Donald Trump liked those young girls, and he's in the doggone file with Epstein. Oh, yeah. And then we got Epstein going back and saying, hey, these guys are all a bunch of wackos. I'm out here in Israel. I've had my nose fixed, by the way, so I don't get as much free air as I did. But I tell you what, guys and boys and girls, I ain't dead. I've had a really good cosmetic surgeon, and I'm having fun. Do you remember when I was 50? You guys sent me those two 12-year-olds out of France, those twins.
That's horrible, dude.
For his birthday party. That happened.
I know.
Okay? And all these perverted people all run together in the same circles, because remember, this planet is run by a sex death cult, period.
Well, what's crazy is people were putting comments, right? I was reading some of the comments on this, and they were going, well, this couldn't be true with Donald Trump. It couldn't be true because the Democrats would have put all this out when he was running against Kamala.
They did pull it out.
But then everybody goes, they weren't going to release the list because they're on it, too.
Well, no. Donald Trump got... There's a bunch of young women who came forward the first time he ran who were quickly hushed up.
Yeah.
As far as what happened with all that.
No, they weren't underage, though.
I don't know what they were. I don't care. But here's the thing I'm going to say. If you have an 18-year-old woman who's dressed up, and she's dressed out to the nines, there's like five different levels of dress. Looking good, looking hot, looking really hot, looking smoking hot, and number five is melting asphalt. In other words, when you step out onto the asphalt, you're so hot the asphalt melts. Now, my wife could pull that off in an evening gown. She was so smoking hot. I watched some guys one guy, fall down a set of stairs in a cruise ship because he was staring at her. That's melting asphalt hot. So if you get an 18 or a 20-year-old or a 22-year-old who's melting asphalt hot and you go out with them, you know, and you think they're 30 years old or whatever, you're probably going to get a hall pass because of how they look. So if Donald Trump did that with these younger women when he was in his 40s or 50s or whatever, that's his call. It's none of my business. But when Epstein brings in two 12-year-olds,
that's a whole different
story, different level. Okay, that's just pure perversion. And see, the reality is that now Epstein knows what's going on. Trump knows what's going on. Apparently Elon Musk knows what's going on. And so now we've got all these different circuses that I've talked about. I mean, this is our 20-ring circus.
That's exactly right.
And the problem is, because we're Americans, these are our dancing ponies. We don't want them as our dancing ponies, but that's who we have to talk about. So we got the little Trump pony and the little Epstein pony, the little Musk pony, and the little, you know, perverted Zelensky pony, and they're all kind of bouncing around saying, look at me. And you're going, what the H-E double sticks is wrong with these ponies? They all need to be a bunch of geldings. Whoa. Yeah, let's do that. Let's try that mess for a while. But the point is, all of these guys bring up this stuff. You know, now we got Hungary going to war.
Yeah, well, and Germany's spooling up with the UK.
Oh, and they're, Germany's having record bankruptcies now. And
yeah,
on,
but,
and
but they're
on.
Remember, it's one thing Gerald Celente always said: whenever the banks start to fail, we always go to war. If
they
you look back in history, every time we've had major wars, there's always some type of financial collapse impending when that happens.
Rothschild's mom, the original Rothschild, back in the 1800s, she got a lot of free air back then. I remember she said something. She goes, if my son wants there to be a war, there's going to be a war. If my son deems it not to be, it won't be. And you're like, what the heck's wrong with these people? And see, and that's the thing, isn't it? We got all the dancing.
I got a lion through a flaming flaming ring. This is actually an interesting one. Trump pardons the South Florida divers convicted for freeing sharks from the research line. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. If you guys remember, this happened down here in Florida.
I don't remember this one.
They were out in August 2020 during COVID. They were a shark diving charter boat, and they encountered a lead line 3 miles off Jupiter, and it basically had multiple sharks and grouper hooked onto it. They freed the sharks, freed the grouper, reported the line to wildlife officials, and brought it back to shore. They were immediately charged with multiple felonies for violating licensing of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration shark research. They were sentenced, they were convicted of 2 felonies, probation, 50 hours community service, in order to pay back $3,400 in restitution. Felony convictions mean they couldn't own a firearm, couldn't travel, couldn't vote. And Trump came in and said, what are you guys doing? You guys got lead lines 3 miles out offshore catching sharks. And these guys undid the sharks and brought the lead line in and reported it to you. And you arrest them for felonies. And they plea bargained out. So he went in and he basically pardoned them under this. Just thought I would bring that up as a little middle candy.
My turn.
Okay, let's hear it.
No, it was estuary ecology class that I took at Florida State University.
Yeah.
I did. I took this class. And they had this boat that had sunk once before, I found out later. Run out of gas with me one time because the TAs were too stupid to put fuel in it. I had to paddle that thing one time about six miles back to shore. Nobody else could do it because they weren't in shape. I was laying on the front hull with a paddle on one side. I paddled that thing all the way back to shore.
Well, that
wasn't the story. The story was we put up a trauma net one night.
Okay.
We're doing research for Florida State University.
Right.
You know? And we had an all-night party on this boat. We weren't drinking, but we had a party because we were all like, you know, cannot believe we're in the middle of this. And so we put a net down. We staked it in the ground. And we put 300 feet, and we staked it at the other end. And then what we did, we wanted to see what was going to swim into it. It was a gill net. It was horrible way for a fish to die, I guess, if you care about how fish die. And what ended up happening is we came back like 2-3 hours later to pull the net up and see what we had in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought myself, this would be interesting. I am curious of what we caught. Man, there were all kinds of grouper and all kinds of other fish in there. And then there were the sharks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were about 3 feet long. They weren't the real big boys, but about 3 feet, 2 to 3 feet
yeah.
long. And we were determining what sharks were eating, and they decided that they would go ahead and put the sharks in the boat and take them back for further research to Florida State. There were so many sharks that we were down now to about 4 inches from the water line on the top of the boat. I mean, we were stepping on dead sharks. And what he'd do, he'd bring them into the boat, and he'd kill them with a ball-peen hammer so they wouldn't bite us.
Yeah.
Just true story. This was talking about sharks out here in this line. And finally, I said to the dude, I said, you know, the water's calm right now.
Yeah, right now.
I said, what are we going to do if a boat comes by and swamps us? We have got a whole boat full of sharks. We know Apalachicola Bay is filled with sharks right now, and we are basically pulling it. So he goes, well, that's true, isn't it? And I said, why don't we just get rid of some of these carcasses? He says, well, we got to take their bowels out. So here's what he did. So he had this big super sharp knife, so he sort of cuts the bowels open and pulls their guts out.
Just dump it in the water?
Oh, no. Then he throws
it. He's
chumming the water. And also, I'm watching the water churn.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm seeing these white bodies come in. You just go, we had lights on the boat. And boom, boom, boom. Every shark, we got hit by other sharks. And I'm thinking to myself, this is like some kind of scene from Freddy Krueger's, you know, out of hell. I said, what the heck am I doing on this boat with this nutbag? And we finally got to shore. But I thought to myself, I cannot believe how many sharks are out there. So this type of research does take place.
Yes.
Because I was involved in it. I think by the grace of God, we didn't get eaten. Then I found a stupid boat sunk one time, and they had to put it on some island out there, beach it. And it had no radio, had no flares, had no extra fuel on it. A bunch of clowns. And this is what happens when you get PhD students. That was not who I was. I was an undergraduate at the time, who are basically TAs, you know, the teacher's assistant or technical assistants in the school, who have absolutely zero EQ. you know, emotional quotient. They can't think their way out of a wet paper bag, you know, with a razor knife. And all they want to do is, oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this. And they don't think through the fact that they're in a situation where they could die. It was an interesting story. So when I see this kind of stuff, so do I think Trump should have pardoned them? I absolutely do.
Well, it was nefarious. That was the problem.
No, they weren't trying to.
If they turned it in and they basically
They saw somebody put a 3-mile line. 3 miles?
Yeah, 3 miles. I'm like, come on.
Come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
I probably would have turned the group loose. I probably would have kept them. I had a good grouper harvest.
This is wild in Texas. I want to cover this. This is getting a lot of support now in a whole country.
Oh, we talked a little bit about this.
This is actually, apparently, they're going to get this pushed in Texas now. So Texas is going to start requiring warning labels on popular snack foods if the Senate Bill 25 passes and gets signed, which they pretty much have said they're going to do it now. And it'll make brands like M&M's, Fruit Loops, Doritos, Oreos, Skittles, Gatorade, Mountain Dew, and other popular snacks carry warning labels in the landmark bill. And what's interesting about this, they said it's the food and beverages sold in Texas that are not recommended for human consumption if they contain ingredients that are banned and required to carry warning labels in Europe, UK, Australia, or Canada. 44 ingredients, including synthetic dyes, hydrogenated oil, bleached flour, seed oils, preservatives, contributing to the chronic disease epidemic, will all have to be listed as basically not for human consumption. Warning labels on it. Make Texas healthy again. This is a big deal. This is huge.
Well, I don't know who in the world they got a hold of in Texas to push this. I love this.
Oh, so do I. It's going to reshape the food industry.
Well, DeSantis got the Florida out of the water in Florida.
Yep.
And now it's coming out of the water nationwide.
Yep. Everybody's starting to talk about it.
Everybody's starting to talk about all the poisons we're putting into our bodies and the neurotoxins. Yesterday, I got my teeth cleaned. And I told the guy, I said, he's actually a dental hygienist, but he's going to go to dental school.
Okay.
And he's got his applications in. And he was from, I believe he said he was from Venezuela. And he basically has a degree from Venezuela, and they're going to accept him into a medical program here, a dental program here. And I told him, I said, I don't want any fluoride.
Yeah, no fluoride.
And he looked at me kind of funny. Why not fluoride? I'm like, it's a neurotoxin. It's hydrofluorosilicic acid. He goes, really? Really? I mean, like, he really didn't know. And see, and that's the sad part about it. You know, a lot of countries in the southern part of the world, especially in South America, they don't put fluoride in the water. They put it in their salt, Austin. We talk about this in depth. And what it's a giant sterilant is what it is. It makes these people servile and infertile. And it's just something that they've done for decades of time down in fact, we have a friend of ours who was a missionary down there.
Yep.
And they used to take their salt with them from the office because they said you can't buy salt down there that doesn't contain fluoride. By the way, this is an interesting article. It came in the Wall Street Journal today, and it talked about this is your brain on revenge.
Huh.
And it shows about the cortisol, and it says that the neuroscience of vengeance shows that it can be as addictive as drugs.
Wow.
But that forgiveness works like a detox.
Huh.
And, you know, and I've seen it before. I've got one of my family members who was mad at my dad. And I remember I was talking to him one time, and it was my half-brother. And I remember he was unbelievably angry at my father from something that had happened, you know, 40 years earlier. And, I mean, he was just having that dad. And I looked at him, and I said, what's wrong with you? I said, you know, the actors on that stage have long gone to heaven. He looked at me kind of funny. He goes, what do you mean? I said, they're all dead. They're not here. Their bodies are gone. They're in heaven. And I said, and all you have is this vengeance. And I said, and you're angry. And I said, don't you realize what that does to you? That elevates, and I didn't tell him this, but I said, you know, I'm going to tell you guys now, it elevates cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone, and it stops you from absorbing specific nutrients like antioxidants, which massively increase your risks of cancer and heart disease and diabetes. Stress is related to like everything. You see this person sitting on the front porch, and they're all curled up with arthritis, and they're going, I hate what he did to me 40 years ago. Well, sweetheart, he ain't doing it to you 40 years ago. He's doing it to you right now because of you. I'm going to say that to you. It was that bad when I've seen people do this stuff. It's the debilitating stuff they do. Look, I got this. I'm going to say this to you, and this is important. You know, forgiveness acts like a detox. You know, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. You can't do that when you're pissed off at somebody and you're angry and you want to kill somebody. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So you think, well, what do you mean? God's got your back. He's going to take care of it. I remember years ago, I had this doctor and his wife end up just attacking us. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was back in the 80s. She ended up in prison with cancer, no less. And I prayed, Father, I ask you if any of this vengeance upon them is for what they did to me. I forgive them, and I ask you to show them mercy. Because, I mean, I feel bad for her. She's now in prison, you know, on with cancer, and they sent her home with hospice to die. And now all those players are off the stage. Remember something. The Bible says think on the good things, not on the bad things. Don't get all mad at somebody because of what they did to you. Okay, your parents aren't. I got a newsflash. Your parents aren't perfect. Number one, this was their first time on the planet, too. They didn't get an instruction manual with you. If you're mad at mom and dad for something, just suck it up, buttercup, and be done with it. It's part of it. Parents don't have any idea what they're doing because it's their first trial run also, especially with kids who don't come with instruction manuals. So if everything in your life didn't go perfect, maybe your parents did the best they possibly could. Now, mind you, I'm going to say this. If you do have relatives or friends that you know or people that used to be your friends and they've done something to you egregious, just say to God, Lord, please forgive so-and-so. I forgive them. I ask you to take this bitterness from me and allow me to go on with my life and just walk in forgiveness all the days of my life. And it'll release from you. And if you need to, you can always ask that person to forgive you too, or ask you to just tell them that you forgive them. And sometimes they get mad. I forgive you for what you did to me. What do you mean by that? You know, then I want to fight about that. Let me say something about that. There are some people out there, you can't afford to be with them. You think, well, what do you mean by that? Some people, you just got to ask yourself a question. Am I getting anything positive from this relationship, or is it just going negative all of the time? Sometimes you just got to step away, walk away, and say goodbye. And I don't care if they're your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friends, your old pastor. It doesn't make any difference. Sometimes relationships go toxic. You know, our heart puts out a 15-foot radius energy field around it. Haven't you ever walked into somebody's energy field and you just felt, wow, I like this person. I feel like I've known them for 20 years. I feel like time has never gone by with us. I feel as good, as close to them now as I've always felt. Sometimes that even happens with a stranger. Like if you go on a date, you go, wow, okay. I feel like I know this person. Other times you get around somebody, it's like two north poles of a magnet repulsing each other. It's because the energy fields aren't compatible. Sometimes you try to have a relationship with somebody that basically you don't need to have a relationship with. And a lot of times it's the Holy Spirit warning you. So when you get somebody like that, it's so difficult to be friends with them. You got to push it and work it all the time. And it's always constant conflict. Do yourself a favor. Just pray for them from a distance and step away. I don't care if they're family or whatever they are. Sometimes people can't be around you because of the damage and the toxicity they cause. Always remember that. And this thing, this article this morning, I think it was pretty good because this is your brain on revenge. Leave that to God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Don't try to get yourself into a situation where you're trying to, I'm going to get even with you, boy or girl. Don't do that. Just step away and walk away. If somebody says something ugly to you, you know, and they've been a friend for a long time, and you've known them for 20 years, and you've given every year an A, and they say something stupid, just forgive them. You know, now if they do it again and again and again, and now you're getting F, 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 you might want to reevaluate that or give them some time to kind of calm down. I had a friend of mine years ago. He had met a girl in Thailand and got married to her. And then they got divorced. Well, what happened? She abandoned him. And he got super negative. I feel terrible for him, but he had been my friend for decades. And so I just stayed with him and supported him and prayed for him. And finally he got over it. But the reality is that support the people that you know that you've had a long-term relationship with that you know are good people. But people that basically cause constant conflict, it's easier to say, you know what, I'm going to step away for a while, and if you want to try to have a relationship with me that's going to be reciprocal, because remember, what causes love? It's the reciprocity, it's the trust, it's the respect, and it's God. Always remember that, and be careful in who you associate with. But I saw this morning on your brain on revenge. Revenge will destroy you, Austin.
It will.
It will give you cancer, heart disease, and basically kill you. Always remember that. So don't feel as though you need to be revengeful towards people.
No, you're spot on with that as well. And there's another article coming out now. Ozempic makes headlines again. As they say, users may face shorter lifespan due to loss of muscle and bone mass.
I believe that.
They said the miracle answer for shedding pounds is not what everybody thinks it is. And essentially, I told everybody this, it's not a weight loss drug. It's a diabetic drug. And the issue is you don't just lose fat. You lose bone muscle, you lose bone density, and you lose muscle tissue dramatically on this drug.
Every pound of muscle you lose 500 metabolic calories per day of muscle of energy being burned, 1 pound. And so what happens is it's 50. It's 50 calories per day is used up by every pound of muscle. So if you lose 10 pounds of muscle, you now have to drop your caloric intake by 500 calories a day not to gain weight.
And this is the issue why so many people, after they discontinue this drug, are having issues. It says after discontinuing the semaglutide, many users regain more fat than they lost,
with a worse fat to muscle ratio as the hunger returns and the muscle loss remains unrecovered.
Not seen it.
So they lose a bunch of muscle, they lose a bunch of fat, they drop the drug, they keep eating crap like they were, they gain the fat back, and now they have less muscle than they had before the drug, and it causes even more health problems.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. This is important. And also I'm going to ask you this question, too. Now, let's stay with me for a second on this. If you've got a person that's 100 pounds overweight,
okay,
that's a lifestyle choice they've made.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's a food problem. That is not an exercise
problem.
That's
a food problem, yeah.
That's a food problem. It's not that you're not exercising enough, because let me tell you something, sweetheart, buttercup, whatever you guys want to call each other, I don't care. If you think you're going to lose 100 pounds by exercise without modifying your dietary intake, you might do it, but you're going to lose a whole bunch of muscle weight. And the problem with that is if you don't exercise, you're going to lose a bunch of muscle weight. It's easier to use our collagen peptides, wherever they are, okay, and our protein powder. Wherever they
fit food
wherever,
right there,
wherever
that's
where that is. And when you're losing weight, make sure you have adequate amounts of protein.
That's
at least,
exactly
at least
right.
1 gram per pound of body weight. Really important. And then what you do is you don't go on some big rush. I'm going to lose 10 pounds a week. You don't do that. What you do is you go about 2 pounds a week and you exercise the entire time so you don't lose a bunch of lean muscle mass. That's the way to do it. That's what bodybuilders have learned a long time ago. You don't go on some massive weight loss binge.
No.
You don't starve yourself. And you say, I'm going to do 3,000 calories of cardio today. Well, all you're going to do is mess your hips and your joints up.
Burn muscle tissue.
And you're going to burn muscle tissue because of cortisol. Don't do it. And don't give yourself a 100-pound goal. Give yourself a 10-pound goal. Do incremental goals with weight loss. I'm going to drop 10 pounds. I weigh 270 right now. I'm dropping down to 260. You can go, wow, that was easy. I'm going to drop down to 250 now.
Yep.
You go, wow, that was easy too. But you go, I'm going to go from 270 to 180. That's a big goal.
And it's going to be discouraging, too.
Yeah. And give yourself at least a few cheat meals a week. But I'm not talking about going out and eat a bunch of pork and a bunch of poisonous product. Don't do that. You go out and, you know, maybe have a, you know.
You like a thin crust pizza or something,
whatever.
Cauliflower pizza.
Cauliflower pizza
if you
once
want
a week.
You know, some junk.
Yeah, but that's like once a week, though. And just chill out for a minute and say, I'm not going to punish myself. But remember, a dietary change and a lifestyle choice is not a punishment, Austin.
No. It should be a lifestyle.
You know, I mean, I go buy rotisserie chickens. I know it's boring. You send me these letters. It's so boring. I tried. I got it.
Chicken and rice.
I got it. And I use chicken and vegetables.
I know.
I found a bunch of cases of frozen broccoli in my freezer, all organic.
There you go.
Oh, you're talking about clean.
Yeah.
You know,
skin
chicken
and broccoli.
And broccoli.
That's contest prep.
I feel good on it because it stabilizes my blood sugar really, really well. So always remember, you don't have to starve yourself to be healthy. But you got to change. It can't be a diet. It's got to be a lifestyle. I've got a friend of mine. He went on Ozempic. Yeah, and I told him not to. And he lost a bunch of weight. Now he's gained all that weight back plus more. Now he looks like a little pudgy poly.
Well, I hear that all the time with Ozempic, man. I've gotten so many horror stories. I've had people email me, said they wish they knew about it, wish they knew beforehand. They take it, they lose a bunch of weight, they get off it, they gain the weight back, except they're weaker, less muscle mass. It's very common. Now they're saying all these issues with depression that we talked about before.
Yeah. Suicidal depression.
Right here. Mm-hmm. Prone to have suicidal thoughts when you're on it. They said the database for 45% higher rate of reported suicidal thoughts in patients using semaglutide compared to the average across all medications. The cinnamon extract with the berberine, the hydroberberine, the ultimate berberine, those two are great together without these side effects.
Why does Ozempic affect your mental state? The drug's main component targets GLP-1 receptors. They're present in your digestive tract, but also in critical brain areas. These regions, such as the lateral septum and hypothalamus, are essential for managing emotions, reward systems, and appetite control. So not only are you losing muscle, you're destroying appetite control sensors in your brain.
When it's throwing off your gut-brain interface.
Particularly noteworthy is influence on dopamine. Then this neurotransmitter is closely associated with mood regulation and reward perception. Research indicates that stimulating GLP-1 receptors enhances dopamine receptor transport expression, leading to decreased free dopamine levels in the specific brain regions. That makes you unbelievably depressed. The shift of dopamine signaling leads to alterations in your mood, motivation levels, and even how you experience pleasure. Wow.
So when you come off of it, there's even bigger rebound, too, is what they're saying.
And then
the
government agencies that are paid to you by Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Because they have the revolving door policy of the Food and Drug Administration. It says there's no direct link. Although the Food and Drug Administration and European Medicine Agency later concluded there wasn't enough evidence to confirm a direct causal link, these early signs are hard to ignore. In other words, You're sitting there depressed, sitting in the corner, you know, crying, right? You're crying in the corner. You've got your Ozempic. You're looking at yourself in the mirror. You look a Shar Pei. Your skin's all hanging now. And you're like, oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I feel awful. There's no proof that did this to you.
Yeah.
Well, something did something to me. I don't feel right. And now I become suicidally depressed. And that's not a joke, guys. If somebody says they're suicidally depressed or they talk to you about suicide, you better do intervention. You better talk to them. You better get them some help as quick as you possibly can, because that's a serious thing when you start talking about that.
Well, and the FDA loves to do this. They do this all the time. Here's another article that popped up here. It says the FDA approved hundreds of drugs with no evidence they worked at all. Imagine that. Two-year investigation by the lever found the FDA approved hundreds of drugs over several decades with little to no evidence they worked. The investigation found that many of the approved drugs provided no benefit but were allowed to stay on the market despite evidence that they caused serious harm. So they didn't do anything. They caused a ton of side effects, but the FDA left them on the market. Said many of these drugs were permitted to stay despite ample evidence. And the investigation found between 2013 and 2022, 73% of the drugs approved by the FDA did not meet the agency's four foundational standards required to show the drugs work as expected. 55% of the approved drugs met only one of those four standards. 39 met none.
You know
this
what's
is
funny?
Insane.
Over 50% of the drugs within 5 years that are approved by the Food and Drug Administration are either pulled off the market or have to have their warnings label changed. 50% because of this garbage.
This is nuts.
Listen to this. They're not even properly tested to start with, but here's the biggie. They're not testing the combination of the drugs.
That's exactly right.
And so then you end up with an exponential possibility of these different things happening. And this lower level, of course, is geometric. But you get 10 or 12 drugs in, you got an exponential increase of all kinds of diseases and side effects.
You do not know. FDA doesn't know. Doctors don't know. They have no idea.
I had a guy come in my clinic. This is many years ago. And he came in to see me, sitting at my desk, and he pulls a big Publix paper shopping bag out. He's carrying it like a little suitcase. And I said, what do you have in the bag? I'm kind of curious about what you're bringing to my office. He turns upside down, and he dumps like 25 prescription drugs on my desk. What do you think I should do with all these? I said, I think you need to go out to the doctors that gave you all this crap and figure out what you want to do with it, because you have no idea what this one, and I've listed them all out, do with each other. And plus the possible combinations.
Yeah, the possible combinations.
You literally have tens of thousands of possible combinations of what they're going to do to you. Jeez. So if you've got a doctor who goes, well, let's try this, let's try that, let's try this. Well, if you're going to do all that, which I don't recommend because it's not really necessary in most cases, but sometimes it might be, why don't you say, let's try that, but let's take you off of this. Let's get you off these two, try this. But the reality is, doesn't it make just sense to take B-complex?
There you go.
And 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan and methylated B vitamins and get enough protein in your diet, get off the hormones, just take some supplements and take our powdered multiple and see what happens. You might be surprised you feel better.
Newsflash, imagine that.
I had a friend of mine back in January. She's having all kinds of health problems. And she'd had gastric bypass done.
Yeah.
A gastric sleeve done. And I said to her, why don't you try some powdered multiple? Oh, my gosh.
It changed her life. Yeah.
And now she's doing the amino acid peptides. Now her hair's coming back in. She's feeling great with that. Her fingernails are growing again. She goes, this is great. You know?
Feeling good.
Well, guess what? If you give your body the nutrients that it needs, it has a tendency to do pretty good. It really does. By the way, Trump now, because he understands Keynesian economics to the point, is now calling for scrapping the debt limit. And his big, beautiful bill is going to supposedly increase the debt to the United States of about $5 trillion.
There we go. Yep.
Well, now remember, you know, one of the reasons Musk is all mad is that Trump didn't take into consideration all of the fraud that he found.
That's exactly right.
And it's not even included in this bill as far as cutting this garbage out. And so Musk is saying, what did I do all this for? I mean, you know, are we going to do this or not? Here's the problem that Donald doesn't seem to understand, in my opinion, my humble opinion, about Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a business guy.
Yeah.
Well, he's a business guy who's gotten extremely wealthy, one of the richest men, if not the – well, compared to the Rothschilds, he's nothing. But the reality is he likes to look at the numbers.
He does.
And so he's – but see, what Eli doesn't understand is Keynesian economics. The only way our economy, because we were using a debt-based fiat currency, can increase its GDP is through increasing its debt.
Right.
Because as you basically borrow more money from the Federal Reserve Bank – you increase the interest payments you've got to make, and then you start, when you make those interest payments to the Federal Reserve Bank, you decrease the M1 or the money in circulation. So the only way you can increase the M1 at this point or at any point with fiat currency is to increase it.
Increase the debt. You can't, it has to go up.
You can't pay off the bill. You can't pay it off.
I think, though, what Elon is, this is what he said in one of those interviews, one of the parts that he's so frustrated about is taking even the Keynesian economics aside. It's the fact that a lot of these bills and a lot of these funding are just straight waste. There's not even a useful purpose to them. Some of these agencies are burning billions of dollars, and it's like, okay, where's this money going? Oh, it's going to do what Peruvian transgender comic book contract.
Well, first of all, I don't believe that.
I don't know. That's my point. It's all fraud.
But that's on paper.
Yeah.
But the reason they're doing that is because they want this money to trickle back down into the general overall economy in order to promote their black budget agenda.
And DEI. Yep.
And it is what it is. Now, the Supreme Court has ruled now that this DEI thing is not okay and that you can have heterosexual, basically, persecution and prosecution and basically all kinds of stuff.
About time somebody said that.
No, the Supreme Court has actually come in now and said that, and said that it's not okay. And they ruled in favor of this girl who's saying, I've been persecuted because I'm heterosexual.
Yeah.
And so the sad part about it is when you sit there and you analyze this stuff, you know, you start to say, well, wait a minute, you know, why in the world do we have to have the Supreme Court of the United States say this?
That's true.
Okay, but the Supreme Court of the United States has unanimously ruled in favor of a woman alleging anti-heterosexual discrimination. It's a massive blow to DEI. In other words, you know what's funny to me? This is funny. These guys with the DEI and these gay boys and girls. I'm not picking on gays because it's their own choice, okay?
Yeah.
But here's the problem that I've seen with a lot of it, especially with the lesbians, especially the Butch Dyke lesbians. You can't say anything about what they're doing.
No, or what they say.
You can't talk about them, you know, basically sodomizing one another and doing all the crazy stuff that's involved with all this stuff and their lifestyles. But they're sure enough, quick enough to say stuff about your lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
They'll tear into you and make a big deal about something you've done.
But
you can't say nothing. And the sad part about it is that now this lady said, hey, I'm being discriminated against. Here's what it says. The Supreme Court on Thursday, yesterday, unanimously struck down a legal standard that made it harder for white male or heterosexual employees to bring workplace discrimination claims, marking a landmark decision that threatens to undercut the legal foundation of many diversity, equity, and inclusion hiring practices. The High Court struck down a legal test created and employed by certain lower courts since 1980 called the Background Circumstances Rule. What the heck is that? Which requires a heightened evidentiary standard for members of the so-called majority groups. That'd be us.
Yeah.
Those of us who are not queer. Oh, my God. He said that. Okay. All right. Okay. So because we're not queer, right, we have a heightened evidentiary standard for members of so-called majority groups in discrimination cases. In an opinion penned by Justice Brown, the Supreme Court decided that the background circumstances rule is incompatible with the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which bars employers from intentionally discriminating employees on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, unless you're queer.
Yeah,
until this happened just yesterday. You can get anything you want to get done because you're gay. And you're saying, well, you're picking on gays in the morning. I don't give a crap about gays between me and you. I don't care about them. Just leave me alone.
Well, one thing that's gotten bad, too, and this is what part of this is addressing, is I had a buddy a while back ago who used to work with Capital One, the bank. And Capital One's real, real pro-DEI, pro that agenda. And he said what was crazy is, he said a lot of the homosexuals that he worked around could make all types of quibs and jokes and stuff about guys, this, that, straight.
Filthy
all
stuff.
All the time. Oh, yeah. Like I said, very inappropriate stuff. If he even made a comment like, well, at least I'm not gay. Oh, you're going to HR. You're getting written up. You're getting reprimanded for that comment. No. He's like, I'm literally joking just like they were. No, you can't say that. He flat out got written up over it.
The same thing happens with black people.
Yeah.
They can call each other the N-word.
Yeah.
Which I don't recommend doing.
No,
that's really low class. That's really trailer trash stuff. Okay, but if you say that, there were two radio personalities. I won't mention they were out of St. Louis, Missouri, years ago. I give you the names. I don't know where they are now. I'm not going to do that to them. And I've been on the show many times. And one of them used that word one day on the air live. Boom. They were over 200 stations syndicated. Half the stations dropped the next day. Another half dropped them a couple of days later. Within a year, they're like completely irrelevant.
Yeah,
because he used the N word. Can't do that. Now, here's what happened. The case surrounds Marlene Ames, a heterosexual woman, a straight woman who liked men, who had worked for the Ohio Department of Youth Services since 2004 and was originally hired to work as an executive secretary. Ames was eventually promoted to program administrator and applied for a management position in 2019. Ultimately, the agency hired a different candidate, a lesbian, probably a Butch Dyke lesbian, to fill the role. A few days later, Ames was demoted back to her secretarial role with a pay cut, and the agency hired another gay man to fill her administrative position.
Wow.
Ames, then she filed a lawsuit, again, for Title VII, alleging she was denied the management promotion and demoted because she wasn't queer.
Unbelievable.
A district court sided with her. A district court sided with the Ohio Department of Youth Services, concluding that Ames failed to provide evidence of background circumstances because she was straight, that she was being discriminated against as a member of a majority group, a heterosexual, have no rights in the state of Ohio. The Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit affirmed the lower court's decision. In other words, you peasant, because you are not a queer, you cannot have a promotion, and we're going to hire queers above you, and you can't say anything. You got to sit down, shut up, and be quiet. Well, she don't want to do that. So she went to the conservative Supreme Court. Conservative leading Justice Thomas wrote concurring opinion, joined by Neil Gorsuch, in monitoring lower court judges. In other words, he chewed them out, who essentially legislate from the bench. I write separately to highlight the problems that arise when judges create a textual legal rules and frameworks. Judge-made doctrines have a tendency to distort the underlying statutory text, impose unnecessary burdens on litigants, and cause confusion for courts. The background circumstances rule, correctly rejected by the court today, is one example of this phenomenon, Thomas wrote. The background circumstances rule plainly contravenes the statutory command by imposing a higher burden on some individuals because they're heterosexuals and they're not queer. You know, if you'd have told me, Austin, when I was a kid, that this crap would happen, okay, I would say, man, it ain't ever going to happen. Now, you know, and see, the thing that bothers me with this, a lot of this crap comes from the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. Just thought I'd mention to you. And because they're the ones who push a lot of these attorneys into these court cases to fund these types of opinions. And the reason they do that is because of Jews. It used to be the Anti-Jewish Defamation League. And the Jews were being discriminated against, and they were, in many cases, unfairly. They really were. And so they said, we're going to make sure this doesn't happen anymore. So what it did, because they're socialists, most of them are communists, they pushed it to every other minority social group, including homosexuals, and they have made you say, because you're not gay, you now have a substantial more burden of proof to prove that you've been discriminated against.
Right.
And I know I've gone too long on this story. Well,
that's like what I told my buddy at Capital One, the same thing that happened. You know, they could say anything they want. He makes one comment, all of a sudden he's written up by HR that fast.
Yeah.
So it's now this is interesting. In Florida, they're talking about this here. Florida governor's considering bill banning cell phones in schools. This is a big
that
topic
is
of discussion.
A great idea.
This is, again, I told you guys the other day, it's becoming a serious problem, not only with cheating and AI and a lot of stuff kids are doing in class. These phones have become a massive distraction. And quite frankly, if the kids are in a school system, they're being supervised by a teacher, why do they really need to have 24, I guess, 8-hour access to their phones the whole time while they're in class?
They don't.
They really don't.
Leave it in their locker.
I mean, none of us had. I didn't have no phone the entire time. We didn't have phones half the time in college. And I remember a lot of teachers, most time, they would make you leave your phones up in a tray. I remember there was a teacher that did that without even taking an exam. Being in class, phones went on silent. They stayed in the corner of the room. You grab them when you leave. Because he said, I'm not going to compete with your phone. You guys, you know, trying to text. Because back then we had to text, push the button like three times.
I had a friend of mine. In fact, he became a friend. His name was Dr. Bruce, Florida State University. Yeah. I don't know if he's alive or not anymore. But this is many, many years ago. And he taught the history of psychological thought. Now, Dr. Bruce was a really nice guy. A little boring, but he was a really, really nice guy. And I really liked the guy. And I remember one time, this before cell phones, there was a guy in the back of the class, Austin.
Yeah.
With a newspaper.
Newspaper.
No.
Rattling it.
No, a real newspaper.
Yeah.
I mean, a big newspaper, full-size newspaper. And he's got it in front of him like this, reading it, while Bruce is talking. And finally, Bruce looks at him and says, please put your newspaper away. He goes, I don't care if you put your head down on the desk and you go to sleep. I don't care what you do, but you're not going to be that rude to be in front of everybody.
Yeah, read a paper in class.
And I'll give the guy credit. I never saw him pull another paper out for the rest of the semester. And I like Dr. Bruce. He's a really nice guy. But the point is, it's no different than a cell phone.
It is. Sitting while teachers talking.
Just completely ignoring them.
When it says the bill would prohibit Florida elementary and middle school students from using any cell phones during class, it would prohibit the use of mobile devices for high school students during school hours unless authorized or used in an area designated by the school board. And they said the code must be distributed to school staff, students, and parents, and discussed at the beginning of school year with the students. This is going to be a hard one to pull some of these kids off social media stuff. Because you got to remember, too, now, with Snapchat and all these other platforms, these kids are not just, you know, surfing the internet or doing this. They're using it to take photos and snap and do all this stupid stuff all day during class. So these kids, in most cases, are very, very addicted to cell phone use all day, even without productive usage. And so this will be this is going to be a fun one. You're going to get some of these kids pretty mad about this.
You know what's funny about this, and we've talked about this. I mean, cell phones are as addictive as all get out.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I try just to detox from it. You know, if I'm on a date or whatever, or I'm with my friends, I put it in the car or put it in the other room, or I turn it off. You think, well, do you really turn it off? First of all, I don't have any young children at home, okay? And if I'm taking care of the grandkids like I did last night, I have good news for you, just a news flash. My grandson, Stetson, this morning, did not have a blowout.
Oh, good for you.
He had a pee-pee diaper, but not a poo-poo diaper. Somebody said to me yesterday, do you really take care of these three kids by yourself? I said, oh, yeah.
A little bit.
But here's what I did, though. Here's what I did. I took him on the front porch, had the water hose ready to go.
Yeah.
And I laid him on a towel before I examined the poo-poo diaper, if it was going to be.
It was
going to be one of those, you're in the flower bed again, have fun. And, you know, we're going to hose you off. But he didn't, so that was great. Oh, by the way, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that, you know, when you have children and you have to have a phone because you're taking care of them, you don't really need to have a phone turned on if you're taking care of the kids and they're all with you.
That's true.
Turn your phone on.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't have to have it on. And then you're sitting there texting all the people that you know, ignoring the children. Don't do that. Spend time with the kids, for heaven's sakes. And remember, these children who are in a school board system, whatever, they don't need that unless they're trying to take videos of the crazy professors.
Yeah.
I remember one time.
That happens too.
Harrison did this one time. This is at Florida State University. Harvard professor in law school. He decided he's going to go swimming on the floor.
I remember that.
You think I'm making this up, and I'm not. So Harrison videotaped it. And the guy is like doing the backstroke on the carpet. Yeah. You look at me like, you're kidding. You know, I really wish I was kidding.
I know. That was one
of
those. The
guy was a complete weirdo. And Harrison, he didn't even teach his class. He just did all kinds of weird stuff all the time. But because he had a pedigree from Harvard, they tolerated it. In fact, one time he was in there, and he did a full strip tease talking about assets and things that you own. Started pulling his clothes off and throwing them in the air. Now, mind you, if I was going to do a strip tease in a classroom, which I would not do, I'd be in shape.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'd be
cut out.
I'd have a six pack. I'd have a lean. If I'm going to pull, what are those dancers? Those male dancers? What are they called? What are they called? The ones that like to do all that crazy stuff?
I don't know. That's your
Chippendale.
World, bro. Chippendale.
No, that's not my world. That's not my world. I've heard about it. This is not my world.
I don't know.
If I'm going to do a strip tease in front of the classroom, I'm going to look like a Chippendale dancer. And at my age, that ain't going to happen anyhow. But the point was, he stripped himself all the way down to his underwear, supposedly. Same guy. And Florida State, for the first time, actually sanctioned him.
Did they really? Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
don't do any more strip teases. Now, this is a law school, one of the top 40 programs in the country. What are they teaching the kids? And so is the main reason that we're having cell phones in these classrooms now also so we can watch the teachers do strip teases or swim on the floor?
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
No, it is. Some of the stuff's gotten pretty weird, man. I mean, especially.
But now I will say something. This is important. Most people that I know, in fact, everybody that I know. No, I won't say that. Yeah, I will. Everybody that I know who has an IQ of over 150. And there aren't very many of them. They're all weird. They're very weird. And they do weird things. They're very quirky. And so, you know, apparently this Harvard professor may have an IQ of over 150 at Florida State, and he does weird things. So their brains process information a little bit differently. That's why if you've got a child with a really high IQ, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, make sure you give them and help them to develop a good EQ. Make them learn how to talk to everybody, relate to everyone in every circumstances, and don't let them become arrogant. Very, very important, Austin. What do you think?
That's exactly right. I remember certain times, you know, as far as building relationships, what I learned a lot from you when I was younger, you know, building rapport, building relationships, because a lot of times it's the truth. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And building stuff and treating people correctly and being able to build relationships where you call someone and say, hey, I need this, or you have this, and back and forth, that's a huge factor. And then, of course, you know, giving the kids the proper nutrients. This is something that I keep reiterating.
Good segue.
Some parents just don't listen on it, and they ask, why are the kids having these issues? Why is this going on? They need omega-3 fats. They need multivitamins in their diet. It is crucial. Period. You have to have it. They got to get it. That's why I put together that back to school program.
And these products taste good too.
Strawberry cod and the children's chewable. They both taste great. They work great. Make sure your kids are getting adequate nutrients because the omega-3s are important, especially at young ages.
Question. How are you going to build a house, a concrete block house, without concrete block or mortar?
Not mortar. Yeah. How are you going to build trusses without steel or wood?
Yeah, it doesn't work. You know, I mean, it really, really doesn't work at all. So you've got to have the right nutrients in a child's developing brain to make that brain develop properly. Otherwise, that child's going to have all kinds of learning disorders and disabilities. And they're not going to think clearly. Their IQs aren't going to develop properly. I remember, you know, we my mom had that German beer tavern. And I remember I'd walk into this tavern, right? And it was like, you know, it was all German stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I remember I'd walk in there and there'd be two or three customers in there. And every time I walked into there, she'd say to me, "Say hello to the customers."
Yeah.
And I'd have to memorize their names. Hey, Joe. Hey, Bill. Hey, Susie. Okay? And then I'd walk out. And she'd go, "Say goodbye to the customers. Hey, Bill. Hey, Joe. Goodbye, Susie. You guys have a great day."
Yeah.
And I remember one time I didn't do it.
Did you get mad?
She hit me with a cue stick. She took the cue stick to me, man. I'm going out there, whack the cue stick, hits me across the back. And I think to myself, crap, man.
I'll make sure I say bye next time.
This is awful. What is going on here? But I tell you what it taught me, and I'm not recommending that technique. It was a horrible technique, unless you hit me in the head with it. But what it did do, it gave me consistency as far as learning how to relate and talk to anybody that I want to talk to,
yeah.
Which came in very handy years later when I was speaking to 40,000 people on platform.
That's true.
So make sure your kids are taught EQ and taught to be respectful of people. I remember she said to me one time, she goes, "Don't you realize the people that are buying beer here are paying for your groceries?"
Yeah. Yeah, they're feeding you, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about it. Your boss, who you work for, or the company that you work for or that you own, is feeding you and your family.
Yeah.
Because you're getting paid a certain amount of money for work that you produce. Be very, very appreciative. That's why I thank you guys every single day for supporting Health Masters. I thank you for putting up for me in Austin's Annex today. I mean, it's been kind of a crazy show today.
Show.
You know, I mean, but again, it's we got the 20 ring circus. I guess Austin and Ted are now part of the 20 ring circus.
Gosh.
I guess. But the point is, thank you for your support. I love praying for you guys. You mean the world to me. And you know, it's so refreshing to have people who listen to us who find us humorous, I guess, and who like to listen to what we have to say. Because if you weren't here supporting us and helping us by getting your Purple Sticks or your protein powder, your collagen, which are really high quality products, we couldn't be here doing the show. So I guess I'm back to my mom's bar now.
Yeah, hit me with a pool stick?
No, I'm hitting me with the bus. That's terrible. I do a pool table right there.
I know. There's a pool table right the back side of the studio. And, I was thinking.
Yeah, but the point is that I'm so appreciative of all of you. Thank you so much for what you do for us. And thank you so much for your prayers.
Well, no, and like yesterday, you know, talking to some of the customers when we get a chance to. We have another customer that's coming in today. He's a big car guy. I think he's bringing his Corvette with him. And he's a great customer, great listener. And when you guys get the opportunity to swing by, we're not always at the office. I'm at the office more than he is. But when we get to meet you guys, we love it. We love talking to people, and I love getting the feedback on the emails. That's why I tell you guys, give us feedback. Give us reviews on the website. Let us know how you like certain stuff. If there's certain things you may want to add into a product, we may revise something. We may reformulate something in the future. We take stuff in. Same thing with the site. You know, tweaking different things on the site, updating things. Thank you for that feedback, because we do it for you guys. Because quite frankly, I could do a whole lot of other things in the morning besides do this show every day.
I like doing the show.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, we do it for everybody else.
If you ever do have somebody, if I'm out of town, come to the office, let me know. Just call me and I'll talk to them on your phone.
You can do that too.
I'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you guys mean the world to us, but we're not always there.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of moving parts going on all the time.
Yeah.
We got to meet with one of our suppliers in 2 weeks over in Orlando because they want to hit us with another price increase. And I'm like,
are they talking price increase?
I'm talking price increase again.
You
I was
tell
like,
me that.
Yeah, well, I was like, I left that part out. I was going to let it surprise you in the meeting. See, I want to see how big your veins were going to get in your neck.
You got the corner on that one. Oh, by the way, Trump is urging to immediately seize SpaceX. We talked about
that.
He's talking about cutting funds now. I was going to talk about this. Now, they're not going to do that. Elon Musk is not going to do it now. Because remember, this is all part of the Defense Department research budget.
Oh, yeah.
You got to remember that. You know, and he has the ability, because outer space and the laws that regulate outer space, to come in and seize it.
Well, the Space Force.
But I didn't really make this clear earlier when I mentioned this and I brought it up. We have the technology that's so far advanced, plus from Elon Musk and his stupid little rocket ships that go up. We have the ability to use anti-gravity technology. I alluded to that at the beginning of the show, to do anything we want to do. And basically, this is to show It's just a show is all this is, because they don't want us to know that we're 500, 1,000 years in the future as far as space technology and different things that we can do here. So this is to appease the masses. We're going to strand the spaceship into space with astronauts in it. No, we're not. We can any point in time, we have a plethora of ships that could go up there and attach themselves to that relic. It's just an ancient relic compared to what we have now.
Yeah. Now, one thing I do think they do some of it for is I think the cost is much, much cheaper as far as the way they still do it. And that's old school technology. That anti-gravity stuff, from what I've read, that is not cheap equipment. I mean, you're talking. But I guess when you get trillions of dollars to shuffle around, I guess, does money really matter? No.
Not if you throw another $5
trillion. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think in a budgetary standpoint, run a business, I'm like, that's probably not the best financial decision. Let's cut back and solidify. No, $5 trillion more. Cut the debt ceiling. We need more cash.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy when you actually think about it. And then you saw USAID, their $50 billion budget. And they're over here, like, oh, yeah, we got to give more porn to Peru, and we got to do this in Africa. And I'm like, this stuff doesn't even sound real. It sounds made up.
You know, it's so funny.
I think it was.
I've got a friend of mine who's got a kid. And there's a realtor that I've known for many years.
Yeah.
And back Christmas last year, she decided to go to some Christmas parade over in Lakeland.
Yeah.
And so the kid's just an absolute drug addict, right? So I'm just kids. This kid's like a different level of whatever. And what does she do? She gets to this parade, and she gives them her debit card. So what does he do? He goes out and gets drunk out of his mind, you know? And see, and that's what this government reminds me of.
Yeah. They got a credit card, and they're drunk. And they're like, oh, the limit got raised again.
You know,
I'm going to go buy some more stuff.
Why didn't we cut crap out of the budget?
I know. I mean, and that's one of the reasons.
I mean, is USAID still in the budget?
See, what's crazy now, it maybe go back in there. And what's funny now is I was reading some articles, and what they're doing now is I pulled it up. They're going in now, and they're slamming Elon Musk now. They're saying, oh, this he need to go away. He needs to be completely terminated. Doge needs to go away. He's out of control.
Because of Fort Knox.
That's exactly right. And I'm sitting there going, isn't it funny the people that are just involved with these billions of dollars money laundering are now saying we want Doge cut. We don't want anything going on anymore.
I mean, and you got to remember, and now he's so straight calling out the Epstein list.
Yeah,
that tells me that he's got a lot of stuff on the ball that he doesn't want to talk about, that he knows about when he brought up Trump's on the Epstein list.
Well, he did that. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast a little ways back, and he was talking to him, and he's like, he literally started talking about the fraud that the U.S. government was doing. He stopped midway. He's like, I'm going to get myself killed. He's like, I really can't go any further in this topic. He was like, I got to stop talking. Well, you could tell he's being dead serious.
You know, we talked about this the other day with the OSS and the CIA and how they were running heroin, 50 kilos, about 100 pounds of heroin per body bag, per casket coming out of Vietnam through their lily pad bases, 1,000 bases around the world that never get inspected because those caskets were sacrosanct. You didn't open them.
Yeah.
You didn't inspect those caskets.
No.
They had a soldier, a fallen hero in those caskets, and you would not desecrate that casket.
Yep.
And so you could put as many drugs as you wanted to in there as long as it was still able to be carried. And this is the problem that we run into when the government realized back in the 40s and the 50s they could do this stuff with black market stuff and black ops. They realized at that point in time it didn't matter what the Congress said or what Congress wanted to do, that the black ops were going to rule everything. And they indeed, Kennedy wanted to destroy this group, the whole CIA, throw it to the wind. Of course, they ended up killing him, them and Mossad.
Right.
You know, and then the sad part about it is you stop and you look at it, you go, wow, did that really happen? I remember when Kennedy got shot. They sent us home from school. It was a major deal.
Yes, President of States.
I mean, I was there. I wasn't there at the shooting, but I was a child. And I remember them sending us home because the President of the United States has just been assassinated. Watch the movie, the video. It's about 3.5 hours long. From JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. Watch that one. Instead of watching Netflix tonight, watch that. And that'll really get your attention as to the absolute level of corruption that's been around here for hundreds of years since the Masonic Lodges took over the United States back in the 1700s, and they continue to push their narrative and their agenda of what they want their world to be, period.
That's exactly right. That. And, you know, while you're doing that, maintain your overall health. The stress management kit we threw back on sale right now. This is a great kit.
Good segue.
It does. Adrenal support, vitamin C, cortisol buster. Great kit on sale for over 12% off right now. So be sure to check that out while it's on sale, along with the EyeSight. So you can keep your EyeSight top tier 2020, like our customers give us feedback on.
I love that stuff.
Great
it really
stuff.
Helps my eyes.
So I appreciate you guys. If you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, Team Health Masters. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay strong and healthy as always, and we'll talk to you again on this show Monday as always.
And always remember this. You know, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. He built the Garden of Eden. You know, he flooded the planet twice. You know, he did it all And it's through him all things are held together. I mean, you think about the fact that everything in the universe is held together through the energy field that is Jesus Christ. And he came to this planet as a human being to die for you, to bring you back to God, so that he could be with you for all eternity. He loved you that much as an omnipresent being. Pretty impressive what he did. So keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, and always remember that Jesus is the reason for everything, and that we need to ignore all these crazy things in the world and not focus on them as much, and keep our hearts and minds in him and keep praying every single day, like it says in that German flag, Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principles of life that can never be broken, prayer and work. Always remember that. I love you guys. Have a great weekend, and we will see you guys on Monday.